We warmly welcome you all once again this morning in the precious name of the Lord and wish one another God's richest blessings. Just a brief note for your information. This site does not represent any particular denomination. Rather, it is dedicated to the proclamation of the Word of God as written in Holy Scripture, without our interpreting or explaining it, but simply believing from the heart what is written therein. We are convinced that heaven and earth will pass away, all interpretations will pass away, and all human opinions will pass away, everything will pass away, but God's Word remains forever. And whoever has taken God's Word into themselves remains with the Word forever. There are so many things that move us. From time to time, we also discuss the spiritual developments of our time here. So much is happening in the world. Every now and then we hear about it. Brother Schmidt mentioned it briefly, and I would also like to refer to this today. The charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement, various movements that are now particularly well known in our day, and also enjoy a special following. We would also like to shed biblical light on the things that are happening now, put them into context, and ask God for grace that all may go well. I have, of course, attended all the meetings in Austria, and I must say right at the outset, I was very pleased that singing in tongues took place. You may not be able to quite come to terms with that at the moment, but I felt at ease. I felt very at ease. And we need to allow ourselves to be corrected a little. We need to become freer. We need to open up more and leave and give more space to the Spirit of God. It was refreshing. It was pleasant. When large crowds sang to the Lord in other tongues too, in glorious melodies, I raised my hands, I sang along in the Spirit, in another tongue. I did it. The Spirit is from God. One simply must know whatever comes from God must be accepted, no matter where and when it comes. Whether the doctrine being presented there is from God is a completely different question. Whether the practice is from God is also a completely different question. So one really must distinguish between these things. The Spirit of God is after all at work for the last time throughout the whole earth. And since the children of God must now be called out from all peoples, tongues and nations, from all churches and denominations and fellowships, then I ask you, how is this to happen? There must simply be a way of God, and there is. God has ways and means. He calls them out. Before we move on to the study of the Word, which we always have here in this place, and as you know, I also referred to this in my last tract. There is still a great deal of mixing within the charismatic movement, but somehow, right at the very end, a very clear separation will take place. For God does not want this mixing, but for now it is there, and then the separation will come, and it will become clear who is chosen by God and who is not. By the way, this tract has once again been very well received, and you can take plenty of them away and distribute them for through them God can speak to people. I have a book with me, from which I would like to read a short passage. As I mentioned earlier, to provide a little context, the title of this 270-page book is Playing with Fire, and much is said here. Branham is mentioned here, Hicks and Zeiss. It is essentially a cross-section of the development of church history since the Second World War. And so it extends into modern times. Then what is happening in the Vatican, the charismatic movement in the Vatican. And I shall read out to you shortly a prophecy that was also given in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. And you will be amazed at the way things are unfolding. But at the same time, it must be emphasized that God is merely making a start to work everywhere through His Spirit to once again place the Lord's return and what is important upon the lampstand. And I believe that with a divine message, we will ultimately have the task of being able to proclaim the divine call across all these movements in a non-denominational way. On page 67 it says, after the Second World War, the disputes with the Pentecostal movement had come to a temporary end. I'll skip a few lines. Thus, apart from a few healing evangelists, such as Tommy Hicks, William Branham, and Hermann Zeiss, the post-war evangelical years remained largely unaffected, and so on. I just wanted to mention that many things are known in church history. Even Krefeld is known, Brother Frank is known, others are known, perhaps better and more than we would like. On page 71, regarding the year 1964, in 1964, David Duplessis took part in the Second Vatican Council in Rome at the invitation of the Vatican. Then it continues here with St. Peter's Basilica and what was said and done there. And the Pope at that time, concluded his address in the presence of all these charismatics as follows. And in accordance with the teaching of the same apostle, celebrate the Eucharist faithfully, frequently, and worthily. This is the way the Lord has chosen, so that we may have His life within us. Likewise, approach the sacrament of reconciliation with confidence. These sacraments are signs of the grace bestowed upon us by God through the necessary mediation of the Church. And now it says, dear sons and daughters, with the Lord's help, through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of the Church, in communion of faith, life, and apostolate with your Shepherd, you are preserved from all error. And so you will contribute in your own way to the renewal of the Church. Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you notice the, I almost used a bad word, the terrible confusion. And now it is essential to search the Scriptures daily, as is written in Acts 17 concerning those in Berea. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. But now comes the prophecy. Right after Pope Paul VI of that time had said this, during this celebration in St. Peter's Basilica, the following prophecy went forth. I shall read it. I have strengthened you with my power. I will renew my church. I will lead my people to a new unity. I call upon you. Turn away from useless pleasures. Make time for me. I wish to transform your lives profoundly. Look to me. Such a prophecy could have taken place in any Pentecostal church. Is that right? Of course. I shall read on. I am still present in my church. A new call goes out to you. I am creating a new army of witnesses. Doesn't that sound good? And bringing my people together. My power rests upon them. They will follow my chosen shepherd. Do not turn away from me. Let me fill you. Experience my life, my spirit, my power. I want to set the world free. I have begun to renew my church. I want to lead the world to freedom. A prophecy in the Vatican in 1964, in the presence of David Duplessis, from whom I myself still have a letter, that came from South Africa to the United States at the time, and who was very impressed by Brother Branham's ministry. And in 1964, and I would like to ask, who can remember when John McTernan came from Rome to preach here with us in Krefeld? Who can remember that? Brother Rus, Sister, Brother Illing, Brother Schmidt, there are a few. And who can remember that I then drove to Rome by car, and that we held meetings there, attended by David Duplessis, Bishop Stanley, and many others, and afterwards they went into the Vatican to present their case there. I am familiar with very many of the names of the people listed here. There are two things I would like to emphasize in this context. Firstly, that the mixing is there. Secondly, that the genuine and the counterfeit are so closely intertwined that only the elect who know the Word of God and have received and carry it within themselves as an enduring possession will recognize through the anointing of the Holy Spirit what is true and what is not. It is very important that we follow these guidelines. Can you imagine that in this very age, in this generation, in all churches and denominations, in the churches that used to be completely dead, Episcopal, Anglican, whoever they all are, in the Lutheran Church, everywhere people are now speaking in tongues, singing in tongues, praying for the sick, everything is being done. I say once again, there is a very serious mixing of the truth with falsehood to this very day. But the Spirit of God is indeed at work, ensuring that Bible truths are reaching the wider public more and more, and that people do not merely hear of them somewhere within the smallest of circles that has gone completely unnoticed, but that these things must be taken note of far and wide by the general public. Here, on page 116, there is a very striking statement from a man who says the following: signs and wonders are the calling card of the kingdom of God and are not bound to the time of Jesus and the apostles. The concrete working of Christ's works, including signs and wonders, should be an integral part of normal Christian life. It is written in this book here, on page 116, Beloved, let us bear the following in mind. No matter how great the confusion may be, let us have the grace to ask God to give us more than anyone else has. Do we understand that? We believe in signs and wonders, but signs and wonders will happen everywhere. It is said of the false prophet in the singular, of the false prophet, that he will perform wonders, even cause fire to fall from heaven. So it is written. Should we be surprised then, when this matter is carried into all the churches and denominations? No, it must be so. But the elect will be able to distinguish between the false prophet, and as we read earlier, that Mary is the protector of the church and so on, as is taught there, that we can distinguish between the false prophet and the true prophet, between the genuine and the counterfeit. And thank God that He has ensured we have a very clear guide in these last days, based on the Word of God. Not because a person said something, but because we have been brought back to the Word, to the original Word, we have received spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment does not exist in a vacuum. It occurs on the basis of the Word of God. For how else could we judge? In the Old Testament, as we can read, there was the lights and perfections, Aaron's breastplate, in which were the 12 stones, corresponding to the tribes of Israel. And if anyone had a dream or a revelation, he had to come to the temple. He had to stand before this breastplate. And when he told his revelation, and nothing shone forth from these 12 stones, then he could go home. Then the matter was not from God. Who knows of the lights and perfections? Let me see your hand. Have you not read about Aaron's breastplate, about the lights and perfections? Who reads the Old Testament at all? That is very important. It must be read. Regarding Saul, it says, and the Lord no longer answered him by dreams, no longer by the lights and perfections. Haven't you looked it up? And then there's the prophecy. Only when a priest with the lights and perfections is present again, will it be possible to eat of the Most Holy. Yes, there are plenty of scriptures. In the New Testament, the doctrine of the 12 apostles is the lights and perfections. Anyone who thinks they have something from God must submit to the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And if the light does not shine forth, then the person in question must withdraw. Then the matter is not from God. And if anyone then says, Mary is now the intercessor or protector and this and that, let us hold up the doctrine of the 12 apostles and place ourselves before it. Nothing shines forth. It remains dark. Why? Because it is not from God. So, divine discernment, discernment of spirits and of things, cannot be undertaken by you and me on our own initiative. Divine discernment comes through the lights and perfections. To put it precisely, the light has borne witness that the matter presented was true. And the Word of God is a light on our path. It illuminates all the matters at hand. It reveals what is right and what is wrong. And in this light of God, in the light of the Word, we see and recognize everything and have come to understand in what way, now in the end times, And this is truly a very critical time, the hour of trial, the hour of temptation has come upon the whole earth. Divine guidance, based on the Word of God, is the order of the day. Anyone who does not orient themselves by the Word of God and take their written teachings and truths seriously to heart will simply not have a clear view, let alone be able to distinguish what is actually at stake. We must also bear in mind that there has always been a certain degree of confusion. When Israel came out of Egypt, as the Bible says, 600,000 men, not counting women and children. And then it says, and a great mixed multitude went up with them. There were those who, on the basis of the divine promise, rightly went out. And then there were who knows how many who simply tagged along. So one must not judge the matter, but ask God to judge. And that those who are truly His own, who take His word into themselves, who are enlivened by His Spirit, who are led ever deeper into the Holy Scriptures. For this is what we have read in the Word, in the Epistle to the Romans. All who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So, now we must discern. Please do not judge or pass judgment, let alone condemn, but simply understand, this is the final work of God. He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Everything in the field of the earth is watered with spiritual rain. But then it comes, by their fruits ye shall know them. You cannot gather figs from thorns or from thistles. Then one realizes what is actually within a person, what kind of life animates them and is revealed through them. Divine life always leads back to the living Word. For Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. To conclude on this first point, I would like to say, I and Brother Schmidt and others who were there witnessed this in the charismatic gatherings. I can fit in very well with everything, provided I am given the opportunity afterwards to say what must be said in the name of the Lord. The external framework do not bother me at all. I look to the value of the precious souls who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And it is these souls that our Lord has purchased with His precious and holy blood. I would very much like it if they would invite me to an international congress one day. I would then be very happy to accept the invitation. Let us look into Holy Scripture. Just a few more passages. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. A parallel for our days. God chooses. He leads out. He blesses. And we believe that we are once again very close to an exodus, namely the departure of the bride of Jesus Christ from this earth and her entry into glory. I believe that this time is very near. However, no one can say how long it will still take. Even those who wish to cannot. God has arranged it, so that no one, not even the angels, has knowledge of this. Thanks be to Him for that. So let us watch and pray, because we do not know when our Lord will come to take us home, so that we may be ready at any time to meet him. Perhaps before I read the scriptures, I may ask that we rise once more to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for this day which you have made. My God, you give us clarity and direction through your word, O Lord. We thank you in particular for the prophetic revelation you have given us in these days, so that on the basis of your word and through your spirit, we may clearly discern what it is all about. Beloved Lord, work once more through your spirit. Indeed, reach out to all nations, all denominations, O Lord, so that you may call out your people, the blood-bought multitude. Beloved Lord, let us then share in the part intended for us by you, namely to give the call to come out, to proclaim what you have to say as with the sound of a trumpet. All things are committed to you, O Lord. We now ask you, O Lord, to be present with us during this part of our service as well. May you forgive all things, take away all worries, all hardships, everything that weighs us down, and where there are still misunderstandings, where clarity is still lacking, O Lord, there may you grant grace in all things. Lord, in your presence, we feel at peace. Be praised and highly exalted. Wash us in your precious blood. Grant us new access to you, to your throne of grace, true fellowship with you through the Holy Spirit, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Beloved Lord, we are gathered here from all over the world, and we are all pilgrims on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. You will soon return to gather your blood-bought multitude. Let us share in the calling out, in the preparation, in the perfection. We praise you, we thank you, we extol you, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be offered to you, the living God, now and forever. Hallelujah. Bless with us all your worshipping people. Beloved Lord, once again we say to you, if you can use us to carry forth the final message, then open doors, O Lord, and open hearts, so that your word may run and you may attain your right and purpose and completion may come to pass. To you, the Almighty God, be all things offered in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods, and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. A marvelous word. God has called the whole of creation into being. He bears responsibility for everything that has life, in fact, for everything. When it comes to election, we see it in Abraham, through Isaac and Jacob, then the 12 patriarchs, these 12 men from whom the 12 tribes of Israel emerged. God had made a decision. He wanted to establish a special covenant. He wanted a people who would profess their faith in Him, a people to whom He is committed, a people to whom He could reveal Himself, who would bear His witness, who would take on the tasks in the plan of salvation. And what was to happen in the New Testament had after all already been revealed to the prophets and the patriarchs in the Old Testament. Let us think of the sacrifice of Isaac, who had to carry his own wood, upon which he was then laid and sacrificed. So Christ, the Son of God, carried his cross, to which he was nailed. Throughout the entire Old Testament, whether in shadow images, in prophecy, or in symbols, one finds a common thread running through it all, until it became reality in Jesus Christ at the New Testament covenant. Here we are told, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God." Everything belongs to Him, right up to the throne on which He sits, everything belongs to Him. The earth also, with all that therein is. And now comes the reasoning, "Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day." Election is one of the Bible doctrines that is understood by few, but it is greatly valued by the elect. A person who has made his election sure, as is also written in Holy Scripture, and as Paul says, chosen by God for the faith of the elect. There are those who are called, and there are those who are chosen. Here in the Old Testament we are shown what election means. There were many nations, one nation was chosen. There were many men, one man, named Abraham, was chosen. Election means God singles out one here, one there. But those whom He singles out, He knows they will believe Him and follow Him obediently. When He said to Abraham, "Take your only son, whom you love, and offer him up on the mountain, I will show you." God knew, even before He called Abraham, that this man would obediently do whatever he was told. It is exactly the same to this day. God has chosen us to recognize Him, His will, His plan, and His word, and has destined us to do what He has commanded us, that is, to become doers of the word and not merely hearers. I would like to read on from Deuteronomy chapter 12, which is also very familiar to us all. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 4 to 5. Deuteronomy 12, 4 and 5. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God. In brackets, as the other nations treat their gods, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes, to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Election includes everything. That God reveals His name, that He designates the place, that He gathers His people to where He Himself is, to the place where He has taken dwelling. We can search the entire Old Testament. God had said, I will dwell in your midst and walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. God's people have not been left orphaned. God has taken dwelling here on earth in the hearts of those who have experienced His election. To them He has revealed His word and His name by grace. In the Old Testament, during the time of Moses, we read time and again how the Lord descended in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire upon the tabernacle to speak there with Moses. I believe it. I do not believe that the Bible tells us things that did not happen. I believe that God has left us true testimonies in His word. I believe that it happened just as we are told. I have no reason to question what God has done or what He has had us told. If it is written that water gushed out of the rock which Moses struck with his staff, then I believe that with all my heart. And if it is further written in 1 Corinthians 10 that this rock was Christ, from whom the people of Israel drank, then I believe that too with all my heart and with all my soul. Life flows from Him, whether in the Old or New Testament. He is the central place of revelation of the living God. And Yahweh of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament, the same Lord, the same King, the same I Am. Great theologians have also written about this, yet they lacked the revelation to see and describe all this from a divine perspective. From Joshua 3, I would like to read verses 9 to 13. Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. I will skip the rest of the verse And continue reading from verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon an heap. So God had spoken, and so it came to pass. Can you say amen? Where is the amen? Going along in God's work. Here there was no longer a pillar of fire, no longer a pillar of cloud. What was here? The word revealed by God was in the Ark of the Covenant, and these men of God at that time, were not prophets. They did not need to be prophets, but they had a word that had gone forth from the mouth of God, the word of divine promise, and they bore this word, and therefore God acknowledged them. We read a similar word in Psalm 114, if I remember correctly. Psalm 114, verse 1. Hallelujah. Everyone here could well have said hallelujah again. We must become more alive, believe me. It is necessary so that the Spirit of God may continue to work more widely and more deeply. Psalm 114, hallelujah. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. I believe it, because it is written in the Bible. The living God, who has ordered all things, to whom he can give stability, he can make them leap, he can make them rejoice, so that the trees clap their hands, if it is written so in the Bible. Can't one branch touch another? Can't that happen? With God, all things are possible. Then verse 5 reads, What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Yes, what was the matter with you, Red Sea? What was the matter with you, Jordan? Why were you divided? Why did the water stand like a wall? We read on, Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills, like lambs. What was the matter with you? What was the matter with you, O sea? Jordan, you mountains, what was the matter with you, hills and trees of all nature? What happened to you? What happened? The answer, Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Beloved, we do well to keep reminding ourselves of God's work time and again. And when we have small matters we wish to bring before God in prayer, would it not be good if we could say to the Lord, O God, who parted the sea and revealed your almighty power, Do you not have the power today to intervene here? When we thus recall what God has done, things in which His almighty power was revealed, when we bring this to mind and then say, Lord, you have the same power today. We are today the bearers of your word, the bearers of the divine promises written in the word of God. Lord, Almighty God, acknowledge your people whom you have chosen so that your glory may now be revealed. It is not enough simply to hold a service, read a few scriptures, sing a couple of hymns, and then wait until the Amen is spoken. No, we must realize that we have been gathered before the face of God to hear the living words of God fresh from the throne, and I dare to say, God has revealed His word to us fresh from the throne through the Holy Spirit in these last days. We did not sit at the feet of Gamaliel, and I might perhaps put it this way, not at the feet of a Paul or a Brother Branham. We still sit today at the feet of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are taught by the Spirit and led into all truth. We are grateful for all the servants whom God sent, whom He used, and I wish it were permitted for me to weep now. I would not know many things that I know today if God had not revealed His prophetic word. I would have no relevant message for this day if I had not heard the messenger and had the connections revealed to me in the Word of God. And so the ways of God are simply marvelous, and for this we can only give thanks and offer glory to our Lord. What was it to you, O sea? What was it to you, Jordan? What was it to you, mountains, hills, and all that was there? It happened for the sake of the Lord, who created heaven and earth, but had now chosen a people. He gave Abraham the promise, probably as early as Genesis 15:13, after 400 years, I will bring your people out of the foreign land again. And I will do so with a mighty hand. When the time was fulfilled, the Lord appeared to Moses and commissioned him to do what he had set out to do. Should I oppose this? No. If I know the promise and hear the little word if is appropriate, if one knows the promise that God has given, then all is well. If one does not know it, then one does not know what to make of the things God is doing. And that is why this glorious word is written in the Old Testament. Take courage, you who hear the words of prophecy in these days. Who knows the scripture? I would like to read perhaps 2 or 3 scriptures on this subject. It really does depend on us having a truly biblical orientation in these days. I read from Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 12. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, whom they recognized as having been sent to them by the Lord their God. Hallelujah! whom they recognized as having been sent to them by the Lord their God. Yesterday we read the passage where the prophet, it was Amos, I believe, came to the king and said, "Not here, go away from here, for this is a royal residence. Here you have nothing to proclaim." And we noted what was to happen next, and indeed did happen, because the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. It was Hosea, I believe. What did we read yesterday evening? Amos, exactly. Thank you very much. In all these prophets, there are the most wonderful passages that speak of what God has done and of the consequences that follow, whether it is accepted or rejected. I would also like to make it clear that we are not issuing a threat here, nor do we wish to fill anyone with fear and anxiety. And yet, it is our duty to point out in all seriousness that we must not ignore what God is doing, but accept it with gratitude. It was Amos chapter 7. Anyone who did not hear it last night or would like to read it can do so. Here in this passage we have now read that the men of his day, or the people, recognized that this man had been sent to them by the Lord. This is precisely what matters in our day. And listen once more to the wording. I shall read the second part of verse 12. "And all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God," namely the words of the prophet Haggai, "whom they recognized had been sent to them by the Lord their God." Of John the Baptist it is said, "He was a man sent by God." How often have we said this before? The phrasing is simply marvelous. A man sent by God, with God's message to God's people, to prepare a people for the Lord and make straight the way for God, so that the glory of God might be revealed. Beloved, may I ask today, in this small gathering, perhaps large for us, very small for others, may I ask, do you know of any man of renown, standing and reputation in this generation, of whom one could truly say, "This is a man sent by God, who baptizes as the apostles baptized, teaches as they taught, to whom the word of God came, and who was truly sent by God"? We do not wish to name names, but we know them. And also here, we don't want to judge. The greatest evangelist has been to the Pope 3 times and received his blessing there. Catherine Kuhlmann was there. Many others were there. But there was a man who was also in Rome and who was due to give the interview that afternoon. Blomberg had arranged it. And he asked, "What are the formalities there?" And then he was told, "Never turn your back on him. Approach him facing forwards and walk away from him facing backwards." And all the details were explained to him. And he had just one response: "Just forget it." That was it. That was enough. Not like that. Not like that. And could a true prophet go to the false prophet to receive a blessing there? Far from it. God has sent his servants at all times to bring his word to his people. Here we are told how they recognized that he had been sent to them by the Lord their God. My heart is almost breaking. I know before God, with the Bible open before me, that history has been made in the plan of salvation in our generation, and that we are living on the eve of the Lord's return. Where are those who recognize what God has done in our days? Yes, who recognize the day and the message and what God is doing now. To clarify, let it be said here, there is no message from William Branham and one from Ewald Frank. There is only one divine message, and that is the complete testimony of Holy Scripture, the revelation of the entire plan of salvation of our God. Men of God had no message of their own. It is not thus says so and so, but thus God has spoken in his word. Men of God appear with the word of God. Blessed are all those who also understand very well and take to heart the word of our Lord from the Gospel of John chapter 13 and Matthew 10 and John 20. Here in John chapter 13 verse 20 it says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. How can anyone say to me, I don't need anyone, I have Jesus, I have the Word, I have everything? Perhaps you have everything from your own perspective, but do you have everything from God's perspective? Are you up to date in the kingdom of God? It is written here, our Lord said it, Verily, verily. And if you hear verily once, you really must pay close attention to what follows. If you hear it twice in a row, you should stop reading altogether and really delve into the verse to which it refers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, to whom is he speaking? To his disciples. To those mentioned here in chapter 13, with whom he supped, performed the washing of feet, and so on. In other words, to his own. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send. We believe that a man was sent by God. We believe that with all our hearts. As I said earlier, we do not preach a man, but we thank God that he had men. John 20, verse 21. Then saith Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. A direct calling, where one knows the day and the hour, and is aware of the commission, where one knows what was said at the time of the calling. Did Moses know it? Yes or no? Moses knew what was said to him at his calling. Did Joshua know it? Yes or no? Did Elijah know it? Yes or no? They all knew it. Did John the Baptist know it? Yes or no? All men of God knew it. Paul recounted this in several passages in the book of Acts. He was able to reproduce exactly what was said to him at the time of his calling. I will send you far away to the nations. We have several accounts of this experience. When taken together, they provide a comprehensive overview of what happened. Every man of God knew the day and the hour, and to this day knows the exact wording that came from the Lord's mouth at the time of his calling. Beloved, back then people did not recognize it. Who was it we read about earlier? Amos. They did not recognize it then. Then the man who was in charge there said, Go on your way, eat your bread elsewhere. This is a royal residence. Here we rule. Here we have the word. There is no place for you here as a prophet. And please excuse me if this word is mentioned a few times. I don't have a text in front of me, but here it is written very clearly in Amos 7, verse 12. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets, and persecute those sent to you. One question, why is it not written that you persecute the evangelists, or the teachers, or the shepherds? Why is it not written, whoever receives an evangelist shall receive an evangelist's reward? From the very beginning, prophets have been the mouth of the Lord God here on this earth, and people have always refused to hear God's word. They wanted pious traditions, to lose themselves a little in the glorious melody of hymns, in the beautiful interpretations presented there. That is not enough. God has the right to speak, and indeed, only those recognize that he is a man sent by God to receive what he has said. And I shall also tell you what the trick is with these people. They convince themselves as often as they can, no, he cannot have been sent by God. For the moment they admit he was a man sent by God, they would have to submit to it. And that is precisely what they do not want. They want to carry on as before. And that is why they must appease their consciences, must tell themselves a few soothing phrases, so that they may then remain in this peace, which, however, is not peace in God, but a self-made peace, and persist in it. There is a very powerful word concerning the proclamation or the sending of a man of God. And here, in Luke 7, we have the best answer, or the best overview, of how it can be. Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. One might ask, is God's plan of salvation tied to a single man who suddenly proclaims baptism and baptizes people in the Jordan? According to this word, yes, for it is God himself who is acting here, God himself who is speaking here, God himself who is making history here on earth. It is not a matter of someone who has a lot of money and presents himself as an evangelist, and everything is fine and dandy when 1,000 people sing along in a choir. It is a matter of God's plan of salvation here on this earth. And when it comes to the counsel of God, and we have read the word clearly here, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves. All in all, they cannot reject it, for God's counsel remains in force. But for whom does it remain in force? For those who allow themselves to be incorporated into this divine counsel, not those who pass it by. And that is why it is written that they rejected God's counsel. So it was not about John, nor is it about a man today. Today it is about, and I say this before God the Almighty, who will one day judge the living and the dead. Today, in the Church of the Living God, it is about God's plan of salvation, about the proclamation of the entire plan of salvation and the fulfillment of this plan of God. And for this it is necessary that we do not push aside the things God does and think, well, then we haven't believed properly until now. In how many respects have I had to correct myself? I have learned more and heard new things time and again, but I have done as those at Berea did. I have searched the scriptures daily to convince myself whether things were so. One may be convinced that the other is in the wrong, and think one can even prove it biblically. And it must be said, relying on a single scripture is not enough. One must take the whole testimony, and when it comes to a subject, one must take all the scriptures that pertain to that subject. Anyone who takes just one can be as far off the mark as it is possible to be. The devil has always taken just one too. It is written, he shall give his angels charge, in their hands they shall bear thee up. Forget the devil. He knows the Bible better than many preachers, and when it comes down to it, he can quote beautifully. But our Lord said, it is also written. One must add and take the other scriptures in order to then receive a comprehensive illumination and answer from God, not through a single scripture, but through the entire testimony of Holy Scripture. And so God can continue to walk with us. But all pride must be laid aside, all resistance, all self-importance, all self-righteousness, simply bowing under the mighty hand of God. Then we no longer know anything better than others. Then we bow before the Lord. I tell you how it happened to me. Much like Saul of Tarsus, who then said, I count all things as dung, that I may gain Christ. What he had previously known and learned had vanished. He had received the revelation of Jesus Christ, and in that he remained, in that he abided, and the things he knew of God were revealed to him. Beloved, let us summarize what we have spoken about here today. We are living at the end of the end times. I believe this with complete conviction. When the Lord himself speaks of the signs of the times, and when he then tells us, emphasizing and highlighting, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, because you know, not because you think, because you know, a divine knowledge based on the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in our days, then you know that your redemption is drawing near. Israel has returned, nation was against nation. In the end there shall be peace, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Let us look around us at all that is happening. Divisions between nations and continents have been overcome. Divisions in religious terms between churches have been overcome. Everything is moving towards great global worldwide unity. What is this all about? It is also about the Church of the Living God being united under one head, and that head is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the cornerstone, and he is the capstone. He is Alpha and Omega. In the spiritual realm, we see that the Spirit of God has truly been at work everywhere, in all churches and denominations, to bring about the final work in some way. so that the number may be complete, and the Lord may return. And he said, in Zechariah 4, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. And when I read here, in this 270-page book, that in the Catholic manner, the Lord's Supper is celebrated only with a host, but afterwards they sing in tongues, when they say that Mary is the founder and protector of the Church, and many other things, then I can certainly distinguish between them. I do know what is right and what is wrong, but I shall be careful not to tamper with the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us give the work of the Holy Spirit free rein, that he may be poured out upon all flesh, so that through the work of the Holy Spirit the Word may be added, and that in the end we may worship in spirit and in truth. Namely, the Word is the truth, and so God will call out from all peoples, tongues and nations, from all denominations. One thing is certain, it is not a charismatic movement that will be raptured, but the bride of the Lamb will be raptured, who has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed, I may well boast, as the song goes. She has been sealed by the Spirit unto the day of the bodily redemption. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, nor will everyone who casts out demons, as we read in Luke 7 from verse 21, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. We distinguish between the mighty outpouring and working of the Spirit of God and the emergence of the true bride of the Lamb, who adorns herself, who is perfected, who bears the bridegroom's name, who bears his nature, who bears his life, who is sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. It is not for us to judge, but for the Lord. And we are convinced that he will have his way, as it is written, in every nation he that feareth him is accepted with him. Who was Martin Luther, a Roman Catholic monk? Who were all the other great men whom God has used throughout church history? They came out from the various churches, and even now, in the end, God calls out from all peoples, tongues and nations. But the point is what Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We distinguish between a shaking and stirring, between the working of the Holy Spirit and then the bringing out and preparation of the true bride of the Lamb. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God for his wonderful deeds and works in our days. Blessed be he forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord. Brother Rus, would you like to give thanks? Heavenly Father, we thank you most sincerely for your precious and holy word, also for this morning, O Lord. We thank you most deeply that you have graciously accepted us, have drawn us out of everything, have given us clarity, Lord, concerning your word, Lord, concerning your speaking, Lord. Lord, we do not wish to exalt ourselves, but we humble ourselves before you, the living one, the true and faithful Lord, and give you thanks, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, for your grace, for your faithfulness, for your mercy, Lord. We also thank you, Lord, that in our days you are calling out people, Lord, whom you enlighten, Lord, just as you enlightened Saul on the road to Damascus, Lord. Praise and thanks, glory and worship, Lord, we ask you, Call out your elect from all denominations, Lord. Let them come to you, and may we serve you together, shoulder to shoulder, Lord, and wait, Lord, for your imminent appearing, Lord, for you will appear soon, Lord. Praise, glory, and worship, Lord. We see people going their own ways, following their own traditions, their own customs, Lord. But your people, they go from clarity to clarity. They go from step to step. They go heavenward. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship be brought to you, even for this morning hour, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.